All right, so hopefully we're about our local community, we're about our region, we're about our country, we're about the world, wanting to touch it and be connected. Now, for Christmas, what we've decided to do is we've called our Christmas series here the most full time of the year, because it can get really full, can't it? I get really full, you know, in all sorts of ways when I show it. Life gets really full. It just gets kind of crazy, you know, just your schedules get full. There's lights everywhere. There's just stuff going on, right? It's a really full time of the year. There's part of that that's beautiful and awesome, but there's part of that that gets a little crazy. And right now, it seems like in our country, there's a lot of fullness of tragedy and turmoil, and that can probably translate into our own lives. And then it gets really full of lights and tinsel and glitter. And somehow this season, we wanted to see if we could push through some of that. We could move it back just a little bit. Not deny it, but could we push through and find something else? And so what we've decided to do is this Christmas is we've selected four qualities, if you will. Four qualities of the Christmas time that we could try to capture and see if we could grab onto it. See if we could get our hooks into it. Now, of those four, there's going to be one that's unexpected. We're going to talk about that today. And that's going to be the quality of wonder. It's going to be one that I think is also we're desperate for. It seems like we are so desperate. And the second one's going to be this. It's going to be the quality of peace. It's mentioned in this passage or in this story of Christmas a lot. There's going to be a third one that's really actually embedded but not mentioned. The word hope is never used in the Christmas story, interestingly enough. But I think it's embedded in the story, right? And then the last one is the pinnacle, I think. And then that's the quality of joy. And so we're going to look at these qualities and see if we can get our hooks into them and bring them along with us and then maybe even apply them to these areas of turmoil and tragedy and apply it to the issues of the glitter and the glitz and all of the lights, and see if they make sense. And so I want to start with the unexpected, with this issue of wonder. Now, so we can kind of come to this. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? You've been hearing it on the radio. It's the most wonderful time of the year. The kids are doing this, and people are doing that. But here's the deal. That is actually not true for everyone. We come to this time of the year, and for a lot of people, it's not very fun. It seems to kind of bring them down. And probably we all struggle a little bit with saying it's the most wonderful time of the year, and you think, really? It's the busiest time of the year. It's the most full time of the year, but is it the most wonderful time of the year? You know, in the midst of that, I began to do some reading this week about this gentleman Leonard Cohen. He's a Canadian author, poet, singer, songwriter. He died last year, but he wrote, he's written a bunch of stuff. He's not probably as good a singer as he is a songwriter. You can go online and listen to him. Doesn't have the greatest voice in town, but he's an incredible songwriter and a poet, and he's really struggled with things. He's kind of wrestled through it in his own life. He grew up Jewish. He was connected to a very Orthodox Jewish synagogue in Montreal, and he's been a part of that his whole life. But he's kind of had a journey trying to figure out life, trying to see what it's all about. Along the way, he became a Buddhist monk. And so he's an official Buddhist monk, or at least he was before he passed. He kind of investigated all sorts of things in life. Married several times, looking for hope and for meaning and for connection. Pretty profound guy, I think, as I've read some of his things. He even checked out Jesus. And he said, I have never found anybody comparable to Jesus. He really was probably the most amazing person, but never really found satisfaction in that. He said this one time. I think it's just one of the many things he said, but it just kind of gives you a feeling for who he is. He said, I don't consider myself a pessimist. I think of a pessimist as someone who is waiting for it to rain, and I feel soaked to the skin already. It's just kind of like, ugh, you know, and I've checked it all out. I'm just soaked to the skin. I'm not just a pessimist. I'm far beyond that in his life. He wrote probably one of the famous songs that he wrote. We kind of play it a lot more recently, is Hallelujah. Hallelujah is an interesting word. It means praise God. In fact, if you break it apart in its syllables here, Hallelujah is a praise, it's a Hebrew praise, and Yah is a shortened version of Yahweh, which is the memorial name of God, Yahweh. And so hallelujah means praise God. And he wrote a song. We hear it a lot. In fact, I'm going to play for you here just a 49-second section of it sung by the Pentatonix. Who are they, like, amazing or what? I love the Pentatonix. Man, those dudes and gal can sing. And so just to give you a little bit of a feel for the song, hallelujah, let's play this and just listen to the first verse and the chorus.
There was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah.
You can listen to the rest of it. Go online. You can get it. But it's interesting that in that song, there are 15 different verses that he wrote. Now, usually we only hear three or four, and or maybe even five. And one of them that's sometime included says this. Look at this. He says, well, there may be a God above, but all I have learned from love is how to shoot someone who outdrew you. How to shoot before you get shot. How to hurt before you get hurt. All I've learned of love in this is there, I don't know if there's a God, but you better get the other person before they get you. He goes on and he says, it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not that compassionate cry of a mother hearing her child at night crying. It is not someone who has seen the light. No, 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 no. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. How painful, how hard is this? That's his vision of the hallelujah. You can hear the struggle in his voice. You can see it in his writing of saying, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of all of this? Well, in that light, I want to go to this Christmas story. And I want to just read part of it. And I want to focus on that one quality of wonder this morning. So here's a story about the shepherds and the angels, and it's this story. It seems to me the Christmas story is this incredibly awesome, beautiful, amazing story that's really somewhat ridiculous. You guys, let's face it. Come on. We're talking about a virgin birth. It doesn't happen very often, if you know what I mean. Okay, we're talking about angels. I've never seen an angel that I know of. The New Testament tells us that there are times where we entertain angels without knowing it. If I have, I do not know it. I've never seen an angel. We're talking about the glory of God shining everywhere. I haven't been a part of that. Let's talk about a story that's both somewhat unbelievable. So why is it so real? Why does it touch us deep down where we need to be touched? Why does it seem to ring with clarity? Why is that? Why is somehow that we needed God to become man? The rest of all the religions of the world are about man becoming God. The Christian story is about God becoming man. Why do we need that so much? Why does it make sense? Why does it ring with truth? It's a little bit crazy. Listen to this. Let's just look at it real quickly. Verse 8. And in the same region, this region that they were, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. You guys, now we read that, you know, but try to picture it, okay? An angel of the Lord appeared, and they knew it was an angel. Now, angels don't have wings, you know, this is so you know, the scriptures don't describe angels with wings. They are more of a majestic figure. And this angel appears to him, and they're got it. And they're like, whoa, this is crazy. And then the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with great fear. They were a little freaked out. Now, guess what? You and I would be too, right? Now picture it. We just kind of read it. And all of a sudden, man, there is this angel among them, and the glory of God shone all around them, and they were a little freaked out. And the angel said to them, hey, look here, you guys, fear not, because it's the very thing that they were afraid of, right? Of course. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Circle it. We're going to come back to it on Christmas Eve, of joy. That will be for all the people. I bring you great news of good news of great joy that will be for everybody. Now look at this in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, a Messiah, is what the word means here, who is Christ the Lord, Messiah. The Jews had been waiting for Messiah for a long time. The prophets had told about a Messiah coming, and they didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, but there were indicators, right? We find in all sorts of different prophets, people are beginning to tell what that's going to look like and smell like and where it's going to happen. Even Bethlehem, they tell him it's going to come in this little place called Bethlehem. It's amazing. And here it is, that born this day, today is going to happen. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, Messiah. Wow. Look at this in verse 12. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm looking for Messiah, it's probably not a baby lying in a manger, wrapped in a bunch of cloths. I'm probably looking for some sort of an army figure, right? I need someone with a sword on his hip, an AK-47. I don't know what I need, but I need someone who's going to step up and take over. And he goes, well, the Messiah is coming, but you're going to find him wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Whoa, okay, verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. This is really a whole army. Heavenly host means an army of angels. I mean, they're like a lot of them. I don't even know how these guys didn't have a heart attack on the spot. Right? You know, just like, whoa. And they were saying this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Circle it. We'll come back to that next week. Okay? Among those with whom he is pleased. Wow. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another. I don't know, man. I don't know if they said more than this. I'd be having more to say. But here's what they said. Hey, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Like, how do we stay here? I mean, maybe they took the young guy in the group and they said, hey, look, stay here with the sheep because we're going. You know, you pack it, you know, just be careful. Don't let anything happen. But we're out of here because we just heard the most amazing thing ever. Wow. And then verse 16, and they went with haste. I mean, this means they boogied, right? They got after it. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. When they got there, they said, you won't believe this, but do you know what happened out there? An angel appeared. And then the glory of the Lord appeared. And then a bunch of them were there. I mean, a pile of them. I mean, a whole battalion of them. They were all around us. And they were telling us that the Savior, the Messiah, was coming. And they told us it was going to be this little baby. Wow. And here's where I want to land. And all who heard it, everyone who's there, it wasn't an incredible amount of people. But everyone who was there wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wondered. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get to that word wonder, it's a cool word, right? I mean, it's a cool word. It's like, man, they wondered. They wondered what was going on. Whoa, that's wild. That's, ooh. But for me, it almost feels like a 3-inch word. And it feels a little bit on the vanilla side. It's quiet. It's a 3-inch word. It's like, I wondered. And it's just vanilla. Not a lot of pizzazz to it. Think of the flavor in your life that you love the most. Like, really makes you wild. This doesn't feel like that word. This feels like vanilla, right? 3-inch vanilla word. They wondered at what the shepherds told them. But you guys, as I studied this, the word wonder is used in the scriptures quite a bit. But it's usually used in the terms of when Jesus performed signs and wonders, right? You're like, and the word wonder is primarily a miracle word. It's a noun, signs and wonders. It's interesting, in the scriptures, signs and wonders are also used of false prophets. that they did signs and wonders, miraculous things that caught your attention, the noun, signs, indicators, wonders, miracles, indicating some sort of presence of a supernatural power. And that particular word for wonder in the Greek is all about miracle. So there were signs and wonders. I always compare it a little bit to Yachty when he's catching. He does signs and wonders, right? So he's flashing signs, right? He's telling the pitcher what to do. And then he's got some unique signs for the first baseman. When the guy on first base is getting a little bit too far off, Yachty makes some signs. He'll grab his mask, or maybe he'll pat his side, or maybe he'll do something on the side. He's basically telling the first baseman, heads up, buddy, because I'm coming to get that dude. And then if that ball is outside, especially if it's an outside to a right-hand batter, he's grabbing the ball, and he is on first base in a second. I mean, it's like a flash, and they're gone. I mean, it's a sign and wonder, and we all go, yeah. You know, it's incredible. The signs and wonders, it's a noun in those particular instances. But in this one, all who heard it wondered. This is a verb. This is a verb, and it's a totally different word than the signs and wonders. It's a different Greek word. And here's the thing that I think amazing is it's not a 3-inch word. It's a 100-foot word. Let's blow it up here just a little bit. Let's make it big. This is what it is. It's a wonder. In fact, other translations, we use the word marveled. They marveled at it. Probably even a better word is amazed. They were amazed at what had happened. To put it maybe a little bit differently, they were stunned. You guys, I'm not a yeller and a screamer. I don't like to be theatrical up here. It's just not my thing. I would rather be totally vanilla. I would. I'd rather just kind of talk like this and not go a lot up and down. But when there are certain words that you've got to grab, you've got to not let it go, right? So if I'm trying to depict what this word is. So they were this. They were wondered. They marveled. They were amazed. They were stunned by this whole thing. To put it in modern vernacular, they were blown away. Here, the word I like even better. They were astonished. They were astonished at what was happening. And they said, man, you stay here and watch the sheep. We're out of here because what's happening here is fantastic. It's awesome. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. It's amazing. It's stunning. It's astonishing. And we'll come back and see a little bit. But this is a giant word. Let's go back to the passage. And all who heard it wondered, were astonished by, were stunned, they were blown away at what the shepherds told them. Wow. Look at this in a different way. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. There was a quietness to her spirit. And there was an astonishment by everybody else. And then look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen and had seen, and it has been told them. Okay, so they're headed back to the sheep, right? Okay, so they, along with everybody else, Mary's pondering, the rest of them are blown out of their socks. They're amazed, they're stunned, they're astonished, and they're headed back, and they are glorifying and praising God. I don't even know what it looked like, but it had to look a little crazy, right? I mean, they're jumping, they're talking, like, do you believe that? Do you remember, did you see that angel? Yeah, I saw the angel. I was there. Did you see the big bright light? Yeah, I got it, man. Did you see the army? Yeah, man, they're everywhere. And then did you see that baby? That little baby? That was Messiah. They're looking at each other like, wow, Messiah. And they're singing, they're praising, they're glorifying, they're screaming, they're yelling. Okay, so let's go back to Yachty. Okay, so Yachty's got his sign, right? He signaled, first baseman, you know, wake up, here we come. You know, he's going to take off Carpenter's head if he's not careful. You know, and he gets the outside pitch, and he turns, and he throws, and it's a sign, and it's a wonder. And what do all of us do when he picks him off? We're like, yeah! We're like astonished. Incredible. It's a verb. We respond. Because we're Cardinal fans. We're the best baseball fans in the country. I mean, it's like, it's true. I've lived in L.A. I used to go see the Dodgers play. I used to see the Angels play. Angels fans are awesome. Cardinal fans are awesome. It's amazing. Because we respond because we love that team. And here's what's happening here is we're astonished at what God just did. And these shepherds are jumping up and down. Now, you guys, I don't know how long it lasted. Because less than 2 years later, every baby in Bethlehem was murdered by Herod. Because the wise men came and said, where shall we find the King of Kings? Where will we find the one that star was all about? Herod had no idea, but he got told that it would be in Bethlehem. He says, yeah, go find him. And he secretly planned to murder every one of them, and he did it. 30 years later, some of these shepherds are still alive. And they see Jesus come into Jerusalem. And less than a week later, he was crucified. What do you do with your astonishment? So I have some questions for us. Are we astonished with the news of Messiah coming to be among us? Are we astonished? Is it a 100-foot word? Or has somehow it become a 3-inch word again and just vanilla? Are we astonished that God sent his only son, the craziest story in the world, right? Virgin birth. Grows up to be as 100% human, 100% God, 100% human. He was probably like a lot of the boys, never sins. He was probably mischievous. I bet he had a sense of humor. He worked hard. He learned. He interacted. Isn't it amazing? It's just such a normal story and yet such a crazy story, but a story that makes sense. But have we reduced it to a 3-inch vanilla word? Or is it a 100-foot word that jumps off the page and we're astonished by that God would send Messiah and he'd be one of us? He'd be human. Is that amazing? And I think we make the story a 3-inch story and a vanilla story. Are we astonished by it anymore? I don't know. Let me ask a second question. Is it not Messiah that we need to deal with the turmoil and the tragedies of our world and in our lives? You guys, isn't it Messiah that we need? So let's back and re-engage all the turmoil and all the tragedies of each one of our lives, in our country, in our world. What about in your life? The tragedy, the hurt, the pain, the disappointments. The things that you sometimes during the day can forget, but then they re-enter your mind at night or first thing in the morning. And you're reminded of all the disappointment and the hurt and the pain and the tragedies, the sadness. You see, guys, we needed him to be Messiah so that we could know that we could be astonished by him because only he could enter into our pain, to the world's pain, to the world's tragedies, to the turmoil, to the craziness, to the chaos. We needed a Messiah to do that. Is it not him that we need? Let me ask another question. Is it not Messiah that all the lights and the glitter and the tinsel are trying to depict? You know, it's just out there, and there's all this, we've got lights up, right? We've got lights down here and lights up here, and we got all sorts of stuff going. Probably in your house you have similar. Your neighbor maybe has more, you know? Maybe you live one of those neighbors that has that absolute chaos going on outside, you know? And they have a radio station that plays music, you know? And it's like, and it's bebopping around, and their electric bill's going to be the national debt here at the end of this whole thing. But guess what? All those lights, all that tinsel, all that glitter, it's a depiction of him. It's a depiction of his beauty. The depiction of how awesome he is. So instead of maybe getting down on all those lights, maybe you see him in a whole new way. That's about him. It doesn't match him. He's bigger than that. But we try to depict what he is like in the beauty of who he is. That's why you do it in your homes, because your kids love it. They go, wow, that's cool. That's fun. That's different. That's God. Not the light itself. It depicts him, right? So here we are, and because he's astonishing. Let me wrap it up with just this. This season, could maybe we be like those shepherds? Glorify and praise God for the coming of Messiah. He's coming back again someday. He's going to come back, and he's going to have a sword for a tongue, and his eyes are going to be aflame. And on his thigh is going to be written, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And you can't say that without some sort of, because he is going to return for us. But this first time he came as a baby to be among us and to be with us and to die for us. Are we astonished? Don't we need the astonishment to deal with our brokenness? Don't we need him to define the lights and the glitter and the glitz? Because he's going to deal with all that turmoil. That's what he said he's going to do. He's going to deal with all of that, and he can, and he does. And he's the one who's reflected and depicted in all of that. This is a season of incredible wonder. To marvel at him, to be stunned by him, to be blown away by him, to be astonished that Messiah came to be with us. Have you lost that? Here's the deal. If you've lost that, God can bring it alive in your heart, because all you have to do is ask him to. All you have to do is stop and let life go by a little bit and engage the one who makes sense out of all of life. If you know him today, just stop and ask him to bring that alive again this Christmas for you. If you don't know him, this might be a season where you say, I want to get to know you. Because I want to be astonished by a God who is a 100-foot God and not a 3-inch God. And that's what he is. He's huge. He's awesome. And he's beautiful. In the midst of my brokenness, he's beautiful. You guys, let's sing that. We're gonna sing here the Revelation song with a band. And I would just say, let's see if we can start breaking loose all that callous stuff in our hearts and souls and to begin to say, I want to be astonished by you. Because you are an awesome Messiah, okay? You guys, let's join the band as they bring it alive for us, and as we worship him. So, why don't we stand and worship along with them?